The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Spaldiva, stay there if you will. Would you do that? And I'm going to get Brother Palmore to lead us in a song. And hold the fort. Hold the fort. You know that one? And we'll sing that in just a moment. Now you say, preacher, why in the world? Well, it has to do with the message tonight. Because sometimes I think that we think that the Christian life is just always forward. We think, you know, if we're not speeding down the highway in our Christian growth, if we are not being able to accomplish great heights for God in our Christian growth, sometimes I get a feeling that we believe that, okay, well, I must not be right with God. But I want to show you something in the Bible tonight that might give you a little bit of relief to be able to understand that there's levels that we hit in our Christian life. And by the way, it's not wrong to visit one level more than one time. Okay? So let's do this. Let's all stand. Let's sing this song together, if you will. Now I'm going to come back up and preach. But let's look at it together. Hold the fort. Do them all.
Okay. Page number 244. 244 in your psalm book. We'll sing all of the verses that are here. Page 244. Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is high. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus, signals him. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, Satan leading on. Mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming, teach the signal still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Verse number 3, see the glorious banner waving, hear the trumpet blow. In our leader's name we'll triumph over every foe.
Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus, signal still.
Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace. And the last verse together, fierce and long the battle rages,
but our help is near.
Onward comes our great commander, cheer my comrades, cheer.
Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus, signal still.
Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will.
Thank you, and be seated if you will. You know, normally what I'll do is, and of course Brother Palmer is very familiar with how I am, and he works very good with me as a music director. Oftentimes when I'll come up, if I try to get people to shout, or if I get people to try and wave their Bible, I'll come up and simply touch him on his lower back there, and he knows it's time to step back and for me to step up and say a word. I didn't do that tonight, because I wanted us to see different people at different ways that they react. Normally, I would step up, and when we're talking about waving, of course, back to heaven, we'd take that Bible and we would wave it. But you know, not always does people wave a Bible. Not always does people shout amen. I remember pastoring in Tennessee. I had a man in our church I guess he owned about 2,000 acres. He sold heavy farming equipment. His name was Bill Stafford, and I asked Brother Stafford, I said to Brother Stafford one day, I said, how come you don't shout amen when I preach? I know good preaching when I hear it, and why don't you shout amen when I preach? He said, preacher, you'll never hear me shout amen in church. But he said, whenever you see me start walking along the back of the auditorium and taking out my hanky and waving it like that, you know I'm excited. I said, okay, I'll accept that. You know, we get excited about different things at different times. We talked about the ball game. purposely a little bit right before I got up to preach, because I just wanted to see who was excited about what team here and who was excited about what team here and who didn't really give a lickety-split about either team. And I just wanted to see who you really were as far as cheering on a certain team. Now, we understand this. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary, and not grow weary, it says. They shall walk and not faint. And let me speak to you tonight, if I may, during this time, about levels of a growing Christian. Levels of a growing Christian. Now, these are going to be so simple that you'd be able to take this and preach it somewhere else at a different time. You'd probably be able to preach this in the nursery department somewhere, and they'd probably understand it. You'd probably be able to take this to maybe a senior citizen home and preach it somewhere, and they'd latch on to it. You could probably take and preach this to college-age young people, and they get excited about it. You could probably take and preach this, yes, here at Parkside Baptist Church, and maybe one or two people will say amen. All right? And so let's look at it tonight. Levels of a growing Christian. Let me give you a couple levels, and it's going to shock the fire to you how simple this is. Level number one, he's lying down. He's lying down. You know, the Bible says over in Psalm 23 and in verse 2, the Bible says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, you take that newborn babe. That newborn babe, when that newborn babe is born, that newborn babe is not going to get up and start walking around in the hospital room and shaking hands with all the nurses as they come in and say, thank you for welcoming me into this world. It's not going to happen. That newborn babe is just going to lay there. That newborn babe is going to be picked up by multiple people, I promise you, because everybody that comes in wants to hold the baby, and everybody that comes in wants their picture taken while they're holding the baby. And so that newborn babe is going to be passed around from person to person. It's going to be cuddled. It's going to be loved. It's going to be held very tight, or it's going to be held, if you would please, very loosely, or at least it's going to be held. And some people that hold that baby is going to be kind of nervous because they're afraid that they're going to drop the baby, break the baby, or something like that. But that baby is held. Now, the Bible says that when you and I become a born-again believer, we're like newborn babes. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. And so when you and I are first saved, we just kind of lie around. I remember when I first started coming to a church that preached the Bible, when the man of God got up to preach the Bible, I was just kind of lying around. I didn't lay down in the pew. I'm talking about in my heart. I was just kind of lying there and just taking it all in. Never heard it before. Never heard anybody get up and get excited about the Bible before. Never heard anybody that expressed an excitement about the Word of God before. Never saw anybody hit the pulpit before. Never saw anybody walk out around the pulpit before. Never saw anybody, as I did this morning as I was standing on the pew. Never saw that in a church before. But when I went to a fundamental, independent Baptist church and that was excited about the Word of God, and when the preacher got up and he began to preach the Bible, and by the way, years ago, all Baptist churches preach the Bible. It's not like it is today. You have some teachy-teachy churches, you have some teachy-preachy churches, and you have some preachy-teachy churches, but back in those days, it was preaching, and that was about it. And so, can I tell you that the preaching of the Word of God is what changes somebody's life? But as you come to church as a newborn babe, can I tell you that there's a time of lying, there's a time of being fed, there's a time of being nourished, there's a time of being changed, there's a time when that Word of God is food to you, and you just, everything is new. Everything is new. I mean, from the songs that are sung to the messages that are preached. You know, for those of you that are old timers, you hear sermons all the time about soul winning and about a surrendered life and about being separated from the contaminants of the world. And you hear sermons all the time about loving your parents and about your financial endeavors and about missions. And you hear sermons all the time about reaching the world with the gospel and about being faithful to church and studying your Bible and and praying. You hear sermons all the time about how to treat your parents and how to love them and respect them and how you as a parent ought to rear your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You hear sermons all the time about the good things of God. And by the way, Paul said that he was called to stir up the remembrance that is within us. You know, sometimes somebody has to re-push the button. That's how come at Walmart, they'll have the employees, and they'll bring them all over, and they remind them of the same basic things over and over and over again. And any company that's worth its salt will remind those that work for them to go back to the basics over and over and over again. So why are we so shocked sometimes when we come to church and the man of God gets up or the teacher gets up and he reminds us of those wonderful truths that we ought to be reminded of over and over and over again, lest we slip from that which is the truth of the living God. So tonight we understand that there is a level. There's the level of lying down. Now, by the way, as we grow and as we mature, we find out that we don't want to stay lying down all the time, but sometimes you do have to go back to that level. Sometimes you do have to go back to a time where you're going to rest a little bit, and you're going to lie down, and you're going to be nourished from the Word of God. Sometimes you've got to go back to that level, if you will, please, when you say, okay, I tell you, I'm just running, and I'm running, and I'm running, and I'm running. And my old preacher used to say, sometimes you've got to take a break before you break. You know, so sometimes, you know, those family vacations or those days where you go off with you and your dear wife, or maybe, you know, a time where you would take and you just decide that you're going to take a break out of the office and you're going to go down and maybe you're going to walk a track, or maybe you're going to go to a workout center, or maybe you're going to take and you're going to maybe ride your bike to work one day and ride your bike home. And for those of us that live three blocks away, that is highly accomplishable. You know, now can I tell you, but you know, sometimes you have to be able to say, here's what I'm going to do. I've got to reprioritize them. Now, not for a long time. God doesn't want us as believers to simply just lie down and do nothing for Him. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to be somebody that comes and sits on a pew and you lap it up 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 and you lap it up, but you never do anything with the blessings that God has given you. But there has to come a time sometimes when you just say enough is enough. You know, I tell you, I got sick and the other day, and I wasn't feeling well this morning, and had a scratchy throat, and I got up to preach, and I went home this afternoon, and I laid down, and I took that Baptist nap, and can I tell you, I feel 110% better. I mean, you know, sometimes you just have to decide that you're just going to take that little break, and that little break will help you tremendously. So level one is we find ourselves lying down. A lot of new Christians find themselves doing that. You can't put too much on a new Christian because a new Christian will not last. You know, you can take somebody that is energetic but does not have the full understanding of what Bible truth is, and you can put them in a teaching position or you can put them in a leadership position way too soon. And before you know it, you frustrate. And the Bible tells us not to frustrate the grace of God. In other words, allow the grace of God to grow in somebody to the point and to the place where you don't harness them in a situation that would overwhelm them. All right? So statement number one, we see there's a level. Level one is to lie down. Level number two is to simply to sit. To sit. Now, the Bible says in Micah chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, and they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. The Bible says, and none make it. Now, so the Bible says here that they're supposed to take and they're supposed to sit in a certain place underneath their vine, underneath their fig tree, that none shall make them afraid, and the mouth of the Lord of the host have spoken it. All right, you know, sometimes when we can kind of sit down and be able to regroup in our minds, be able to regroup in our thinking, that is healthy. You know, I don't know about you, but somebody that sits down and they begin to think and they begin to get their pen out and they begin to get a paper out and they begin to write things down and schedule things and organize things. You know, most of the time we do that while sitting. While sitting. Most of the plans that we make when we're actually concentrating on something is when we're sitting. All right? And so this is a time we're just not lying down and taking it. We're starting to consider some things. We're starting to think about some things. We're starting to meditate on some things. We're starting to digest some things. We're starting to take some things in. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 3, the Bible says, and there are four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to the other, why sit here until we die? These four leprous men, I mean, the city, of course, was in utter torment. And these four men understood what it was like to just sit there. But then they looked at each other. And by the way, they did not use their leprosy as an excuse not to do something. Even though these were leprous men, they looked at each other and they made the statement, why sit here until we die? There's something that we can do. There's a way that we can serve. So sitting is just temporarily. You know, when you come to a church, sitting is something that's good. Now, by the way, in a church like ours that's very, very much diverse in its ministries, can I tell you, don't ever get mad at somebody and you say, well, I tell you what, they're teaching in the B ministry and they should be teaching in the A. No, you let God lead people as to where they use their abilities. You know, some people God has led to teach in the A. Some people God has led to teach in the B. Some people God has led to teach in the C. Some people God has led to teach in the Gems and Jewels. Some people God has led to teach in the deaf department. Some people God has led to work in the nursery. Some people God has led. Understand this. Don't all of a sudden get this in your head that if so-and-so doesn't serve God the way I serve God, then they're not right with God. I could appreciate a couple more amens there. Amen. You know, I know if I take some of my A Sunday school teachers and put them in the B Sunday school department, they're going to pull their hair out. But I also know if I take some of my B Sunday school teachers and put them in an A Sunday school department, they're going to pull their hair out. You know, I thank God that we're in a church. By the way, listen, I could take all those of you that are English and put you in the Spanish department and you wouldn't make it because you wouldn't have the foggiest idea what they're saying. See, Art, don't you thank God that we're in a church that has multiple ministries where you can serve Jesus Christ? If I was to take some of you, and we have five junior churches, if I was to put you in one of those five junior churches, you might not make it and possibly some of the kids would not make it.
Amen.
Some of you, I could not put you on a bus route because it would just drive you bananas in coming in on a bus route. But no ministry in this church is more important than another ministry. The choir is just as important as the bus ministry, and the bus ministry is just as important as the Gems and Jewels, and the Gems and Jewels is just as important as the deaf ministry, and the deaf ministry is just as important as the Spanish ministry, and the academy is just as important as the college, and the college is just as important as the Reformers Unanimous, and there's no ministry in here that will ace another ministry. You know, we are a local church. We are a people that are bound to that which is the Word of God, and we have a desire to help others come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and disciple them in doctrine through the Word of God. And so there's many facets of a ministry. So yes, sometimes you may look at somebody else and say, well, I don't understand how come they're not working on a bus route, but it might be they're doing five other things. Or I don't understand how come they're not singing in a choir, but it might be that they're doing five other things. Or it might be that they're so busy doing other things, if you will, please, that they are not able to do this ministry or this. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, so-and-so must not be right with God because I don't see them out soul winning. But can I tell you, it might be that they pass out tracts all the time. You don't see them. It might be they're sharing their testimony all the time. Now, I thank God when we come together collectively. I think there's more power in coming together collectively because it encourages those around you. Because they get to see. And they come on now. We don't have house churches tonight. We have a local church that's meeting tonight. And because we have a local church that's meeting tonight, it's encouraging. You get to see Sister So-and-so. You get to see Brother So-and-so. You get to sit beside the one that is dear to you. You get to be able to spend time with a friend. You get to fellowship with people. Hey, there's something special about church that you can't get any other place. You know, and so there comes a time when we have to sit. There comes a time when we sit down. There comes a time, I remember one time I was walking in the room, and I used to wrestle the guys, and they'll remember this. I used to wrestle the guys all the time. I mean, we were just little tots. Man, I'd come in, I'd jerk them around, and I'd tackle them, and I'd take them down, and I'd wrestle them, and I'd give it the one, two, three, and I got you. I remember one time I was preaching off somewhere, and these guys decided they were going to take me down. Now, these guys are big now. These are teenagers. And man, I walked in, and as soon as I walked in where we were staying that night, I got tackled. I mean, I got tackled. I mean, they just tackled me. Boom, and they took me out. Man, I'm laying on the floor, and I'm panting trying to get my breath back. I was overwhelmed and overtaken. I got mugged by my own sons. I had to get up slow, I had to sit down slow, I had to get my breath slow, I had to be able to see things the way I should see things as the room was turning in circles, and I did not pay for the ride. I mean, it was just a horror. Now wait a minute, yeah, they felt so bad. Boy, you know, Dad, are you okay? Dad, we didn't mean to hit you that hard. Dad, are you all right? Dad, are you gonna live? You know, they just felt horrible about that. But it was because that now I was forced, stay with me now, I was forced to sit down. You know, sometimes a person has a physical calamity that comes against them, and sometimes you don't know about it, but they're forced to sit down a while. They are. It might be that the heart, it might be that they're facing a disease. It might be that they're going through some travail in their individual life. It might be that something has overwhelmed them to the point, to the place where they just say, now, Pastor, I'm sorry. Man, I love the Lord Jesus. I want to get back in there. I want to serve God. But for right now, I'm just having a difficult time. You know, let's be a church family that cares about everybody. Let's be a church family that realizes that these are human beings. These are not supermen. These are not super women that we're using. But those of us that have human bodies, sometimes we're frail. Sometimes we do not. I remember when I was an evangelist, Brother Craig, my wife could attest to this. My boys and my daughter could attest to this. They thought that if I was going to show up, I was going to have a revival in my suitcase. Now, they expected me every time I got to the pulpit to hit a home run. They expected it. They would build up and build up and pass out flyers. And they would say, you know, Dr. Wells is coming. And boy, I tell you what, it was very humiliating when all of a sudden Oscar started showing up on the flyers. Dr. Wells and Oscar are coming. How humiliating is that? Oscar should have stayed home, you know. But then we started splitting up the revivals, and Jonathan and Josh and Jared and Becca, they would go and they would hold it for the children. And then Sylvia and I, we would be in there and we'd be preaching. Yeah, she gave me the sermon, I'd preach it. And so I'd be preaching to the teenagers and to the adults, and we had competition, and we'd get our ties cut at the end of the week, or whoever had the most visitors would get to pie the other person in the face at the end of the week and stuff like that. So we had some red hot competition between sons and daughters. Daughter and mom and dad. And you know, it just seemed like that those churches were saving up for that such a time. And when we would come in, it was like, man, they were on fire, they were excited. Then I come to find out that we would leave and the excitement would leave. Now, can I tell you, there's nothing wrong with that. Did you hear what I just said? There is nothing wrong with that. You know, when a preacher comes in, and boy, I tell you what, we've had people like Joe Arthur come in, and boy, he'll preach, and he'll preach, and he'll preach. And by the way, when Brother Arthur shows up, that's what we expect. We have people like John Hamlin that will grace the pulpit, and you're getting ready to hear him at the Baptist Leadership Conference, and Dr. Ray Young, and so many other ones, Dr. Jeff Fugit, and these are great men of God, Dr. Shelton Smith, and they're going to come, and Brother Louis Ramos is going to come, and they're going to grace the pulpit, and they're going to preach up a house of fire, and that is wonderful. And by the way, as pastor, I do expect you to be here.
Amen.
And that is wonderful. But can I also tell you that, listen, those days come and those days go. You know, you can't put Brother Wells in your back pocket. First off, I'm not going to fit. And I'm not going to go home with you and preach to you. But can I tell you, listen, there's going to be the days when you sit. There's going to be the days when you lie down. There's also going to be some other days where you're going to find out that is important, and that is walking. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 4, the Bible says, and walk in love, as Christ also have loved us and have given himself, it says, for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 1, the Bible says, I therefore, it says, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you are called. Let's always walk as Christians should walk. Let me help you out a little bit. If somebody ever decides to try and hurt your testimony or smear you on a Facebook, the best thing you can do is simply just walk in love. That's the best thing you can do. Because if you get into a tongue-lashing war, many times more people's feelings get hurt. Did you ever find out that people will always take sides, and they always take sides with personalities? Did you ever notice that? Some said, I'm of Apollos. Some other said, well, I'm of Paul. You know, and so there's always going to be. Now, listen, may I say this? I want to say, walk. Now, what is walking? Walking is progression. Walking is putting one foot in front of the other foot in a forward motion. Most people do not walk backwards. Most people don't walk forward. But when you do walk, it is good to walk in a forward fashion. Be visible in your walk. Let people see you walk. You know, your children will do more what you do than what you say to do. Amen. They watch you. I've seen children look up at mom and dad when all of a sudden the preacher's preaching, and if mom and dad all of a sudden smiles a little bit, makes a difference in that kid's heart, even the decision that they're going to make. But if mom and dad look like they've been sucking on wild lemons or something like that, and they look like they just got that stomach ache all the time, that's not going to help that child. Sometimes it pays to smile just a little bit. So there's a time we lie down. There's a time we sit as we begin to think things through and as we organize and as we begin to make the right type of direction. And then there's those times where we decide, okay, it's time to get up and walk. I don't know how many of you have these Fitbits, but I have a Fitbit I carry in my pocket. And I try and hit X amount of steps. So why don't you tell me what type of steps you try and hit? Because I don't want you to talk bad about me. But I try and hit X amount of steps every single day. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. That shows me if I hit my goal or if I do not hit my goal. That shows me if I'm accomplishing the things I should accomplish or if I'm not accomplishing the things whereby I should be accomplishing. Now, did you know that people will judge you by your steps? Because your steps are visible. If you go down to the bar, it's visible. You know, if you go over here and you go to a drug house, it's visible. If you go to help somebody that's fallen, it's visible. When you come to church, it's visible. You know, when you take your kids on vacation and you spend time with them, it's visible. You're making memories with them that they'll never forget. See, one day you'll be gone, but those memories they'll cherish forever. When you spend time in your house and you read the Bible together or you spend time and you pray together as a family or you just bring up some things. Maybe you don't do it on a regular basis, but you have times where you say, hey, tonight let's just pray for so-and-so. Got so-and-so in my heart. Hey, I'm saying this, a step is better than no step. Amen. And sometimes I think that we have it all wrong because we think if we're not living up here all the time and serving Jesus Christ, then we're a failure. I'm saying, hey, hooray for you if you take one step. Man. Hooray for you if you've read your Bible today. Hooray for you. Man, hooray for you if you've prayed today. Thank God for you. Hooray for you if you came to church. Man, thank God for you. You did a great, great thing in your spiritual life and your desire to grow. Hey, thank God for you if you're paying attention right now and listening to what the preacher has to say as we study the Bible tonight together. Hey, thank God for you. If you encourage somebody to come to church today and you went the extra mile, maybe to pick somebody up or give somebody a handbill or give somebody a gospel track or just give them a word of encouragement, hey, I'm telling you, you got a preacher tonight that's very proud of you. If you worked over in the junior church and some kid gave you all sorts of fits and you exhibited some type of patience with them, hey, thank God for you. I'm saying tonight that, listen, there's a time to lie down, there's a time to sit, there's a time to walk, but then also there's a time to run. Listen to it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, the Bible says, let us run with patience. I love this. The race that is set before us. I ran cross country only one time in my life. And I said, I will never do that again. I was a sprinter. I didn't know that you were not supposed to like give it everything to you. I thought, man, if you get out in front, you just take it easy. I didn't know that I would never do that again. I think that Brother Palmer and I are planning to run next week together. Oh, that Brother Palmer and I still like the zit thing. I like the zit thing. The other night, you know, as we were having that vote, you know, and I felt like it was getting maybe just a little tense. And I saw him raise his hand a little. I thought he was raising his hand, you know. And so I tried to catch everybody's raising his hand. And I came back over and he said, no, that was just a zit. And everybody laughed. I thought, man, that's a great zit. I thank God for your zit. I hope you have more zits in older age. But, you know, there's a time to be able to run. There's a time. I remember it was Fred Stein and I, we were going to run cross country. He talked me into it. He was a cross country runner. And that summer I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I was a sprinter on the track team in high school. But I thought, man, I can do this. Now, Fred said, you just stay with me. You know, I was anxious. Boy, I was just so anxious. I thought for sure, I mean, it's only 26 miles, you know. And I thought for sure, you know, this is going to be good, man. We're gonna do this. I mean, yeah, who can't run 26 miles? I mean, I was in peak shape. Who could not run 26 miles? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, when you're in good shape, you can do anything, right? And so I took off like a house of fire, like I was running the, you know, 440-yard dash. And so I took off like a house of fire or 400-yard dash or the 440-meter. I took off like a house of fire. And can I tell you, I was beating everybody that was running with us that day, including Fred. And Fred said, where are you going? And I said, well, I'll catch you at the end. No, he caught me. We're about a mile and a half in, 2 miles in, and I'm just going along like this, and Fred comes passing by, and he says, you okay, Mike? And he just kept on going. That's what good friends do, you know? And so he said, you okay, Mike? I said, oh, I'm not feeling. And he said, well, I'll see you at the end. He just smiled and just kept going, you know? He said, did you get to the end? I certainly did. I found a car, and I went like that, and I met him at the end with water. He said, how in the world did you beat me? I said, I cheated. I found a car. Now, I'm saying that there is times to run, though. There is times to run. Now, we ought to run the truth. We ought to run the Bible preaching. We ought to run to Sunday school. We ought to run to be able to learn our Bibles. We ought to run to be able to learn sound doctrine. We ought to run to be able to help our neighbors when fallen. We ought to be able to run and encourage somebody that's down and downcast. We ought to be able to run and rear kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We ought to run to be able to obey that which is truth in every fabric of life. We ought to run to be able to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy for us to be able to serve Him in every capacity. There ought to be times in our life when we decide, hey, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to run. But sometimes you are going to have to decide, well, I'm going to walk a little bit. And sometimes you got to decide, well, I'm going to sit for just a minute or two. And sometimes you got to decide, well, you know, it's time to lie down a little bit. You know, you have to decide in your life exactly where you are in your service to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible does say some comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. When we first started adding addendums to our church, I believe some people got frustrated. Because here's what happened. We started adding different ministries, and the church was geared when I became pastor that everybody did everything. And then I started adding all these addendums. And everybody still, for a while, right, Brother Palmore, tried to do all things. And I kept reminding the church, you cannot do all things. A matter of fact, as long as I stay your pastor, I'm going to keep adding addendums. You cannot do all things. I'm going to give you an example. We have, of course, the America for Christ. Outstanding job leading 60, 70, 80, sometimes 120 people to Christ on a given Saturday. But we also have bus routes that are in other areas where you stay out till 3 and 4 o'clock. We also have, Scout Rangers program, the Baptist Scout Ranger program. You know, we also have different other programs. You know, you just can't be everywhere at the same time.
Amen.
You are not Flash Gordon, for those of you that lived back then.
Well.
You can't, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, ask your mom. She'll probably know, or your dad. But can I tell you, you can't do all things. Now, here's what you got to be careful about. Don't decide that you'll do nothing. You know, for that baby that has to lay down for a while, hey, that's great. Lay down, get nourished, gets help. But, you know, there's something that you can do through the local church in serving Jesus Christ. Find yourself some area, somewhere where you can be a blessing. Maybe in an area you can be a blessing that nobody else can be a blessing in. And then you allow that to be able to say, I'm satisfied because I did what I know I should have done. You don't have to compare yourself to somebody else. But find a place where you can do something for God. Find a place that one day when you're at the judgment seat, you don't have to hang your head in shame and say, look, I tell you what, when God says, what did you do for me and what did you do for my son? You hang your head in shame. And by the way, I believe some of those questions are going to come, such as, what did you do for me and for my son through the local church that he himself established?
Amen.
That I told him, the only institution I want you to establish in your earthly ministry is the local church.
Right.
Now, that's important to God. So what are you going to do to serve God through the local church?
Amen.
Find yourself something. Be a greeter.
Right.
Be somebody that smiles.
Amen.
Especially when the preacher preaches.
Amen.
Be somebody, if you would please, that goes out of your way to help somebody. Make some visits. Make some follow-up visits. Amen. Go soul winning. Don't just dry up and die on the vine. Now, I'm saying this, we go from that time of lying down to the time of sitting, to the time of walking, to the time of running. Let me give you one more and I'm done. To the time of soaring. Like an eagle would soar through that which is the heavens. Here's what it is and I'm done. The Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's the time of soaring where you hit the mountains, you're able to see them because God has been so good to you. Where you're looking down and say, boy, look what God has done. Look what God has done. Look how God has blessed. God does that in different people's lives in different ways. Years ago, God started opening up for me international ministries to be able to go and to plant churches and to encourage pastors to plant churches and to start churches and to train soul winners and to go into areas that Americans would not even be welcome, but by training nationals, they can go across borders where you and I would not even be acceptable. And God opened up a door. Now, wait a minute. Years ago, God opened up the door for us to come as a family, and we did, as a family. We came to Parkside Baptist Church. All right? God opened up that door. All right? Years ago, God started opening doors for me to start to preach conferences, even now around America, okay, and speak in different conferences on different platforms and stuff like that. All right, that's a door. Now, I want to ask you something. That's doors that God's opened up for me. What doors is He opening up for you? There's doors that He has for you. You know, I get to be your pastor. I get to teach you the Bible. I get to preach to you. I have different ones here that assist me as assistants, that hold my hands up and try to help me as I try to administer the ministries that God has allowed us to have right here. And they're good assistant pastors, okay? But what is it that God has for you? God has something for you. What is it that you could do? Think about it. What is it that you could do in serving Jesus Christ? What is it that you could do in your personal life to become valuable as an instrument being used for His honor and for His glory? What is it? Some of you sat down, and can I tell you, it's time to get back up again. You've rested long enough. Some of you have been laying down. Can I tell you, it's time to sit up and take note about what God wants to do in your life. Don't play around with it. Life is fast. Life goes quick. Life is short. You have no earthly idea how much longer you're going to be here on planet Earth. You have no idea. You know, some of the preachers I preached with years ago, and some of the ones that I even looked up to, never preached with, but admired from a distance, they're all gone now. You know, it used to be I'd be the young preacher that would go and hear the old preacher. Now I find out I'm the old preacher. Because all those other guys are gone. All right? So, you know, in your life, what are you going to do with your life? What is it that God could use you to do? Now, you're going to move from element to element. You're going to move from level to level. You're going to go from the lying down to the sitting up, to the walking, to the running, to the soaring high. There may be a day when you're not soaring high, but you're just walking. That doesn't mean that you're not right with God, but it does mean that you always ought to be evaluating where you are. Is that where God wants you at this time? Now, nobody can tell you that. You have to walk with God. You have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit working in your life. And for some of these people that walk around thinking that they're God's gift to humanity, they have the right to tell you, yes, right now you're right with God, and right now you're not right with God. Maybe they need to spend a little bit more time with God themselves. You let the preacher do the preaching. You let the Holy Ghost interpret the preaching. But can I tell you, don't get upset with yourself. You know, maybe you served God at one time here, and maybe that is not available to you right now. That doesn't mean that you're backslidden. That just means that God is teaching you some other things that He could not teach you in that area that you once was in. So He's given you an opportunity. He's given you a privilege to be able to learn something new, something different, whereby He's grooming you for your future. Or maybe He's grooming you today for somebody you're even just going to meet tomorrow. You don't have a clue. So what I do in my life is what you're supposed to do in your life. Don't get in a hurry trying to fill somebody else's shoes. I've said this often, and I've been quoted now. I've said it so much that if you're trying to be somebody else, who's going to be you while you're gone? But it is true. God made you unique. The Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. There's only one of you. And can I tell you, there's not a person in here that I do not thank God for your personality, for the drive that God has placed inside of you, for what you can do for Jesus Christ. But I think when all of a sudden we decide that we're going to try and be somebody else, we're going to try to live just like somebody else, we're going to try to put on some. Now, you are supposed to put on somebody. And let me tell you who you're supposed to put on. You're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. If you spend time putting on Jesus Christ in your life, you're not going to get mad at the preacher when the preacher rips hide. You're not going to get mad at the preacher when the preacher comes and he spits and that white holy juice comes out of his mouth, happens to hit you in the eyeball. You're not going to get mad, teenager. You listen to me. If you're really trying to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to spend less time grieving your parents. You're going to spend less time finding yourself in sin because of the fact that you're doing some stupid stuff. If you just spend time saying, I need to meet with God. I need to know what it is to lie down and be fed. I need to know what it is to sit down and evaluate my life and look at my life and say, yes, I can do this for God. I might not can do that. I might not can be that person. I might not can fulfill that. But God, I know you can use me to do this. Amen. This is something you've got for me to do. And if you would simply decide to just be the most wonderful you that you can be. And try not to be somebody else. You know, some of you, if you try and tell jokes, you're going to be like me and you're going to be lousy. Some of you, if you try and preach like me or you try and preach like somebody else, you might not cut the cheese. And if I try and preach like you, I might not cut the cheese either. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that you understand this. You understand that God has made you. And you don't have to apologize for nothing. Amen. Nothing. You know, when I first started preaching, I tell you what, I could not wait to sit down. I'd get up. Now I'm like those old preachers. And I'm not there yet. But sometimes I'll say, now my last thought is. Then all of a sudden I'll get another. And then I'll get another. It's like somebody saying, well, you know, I thought you had one. Yeah, but you know, it's like two old men sitting on the front porch and say, let me tell you about this story. And these stories don't connect. You just connect them automatically and they don't make any sense. They just happen to be that way. But I do want to say, you are uniquely made by God. And when you become sure of your calling, let me tell you this. I was talking to one of these staff guys up here. I said, you know, it doesn't matter who I hire. It doesn't matter how much they know or how much they don't know or whatever. But in my life, the way I am that God has placed in my heart, I just don't feel threatened by anybody because I'm sure of my calling. And when you become sure of your calling, you can talk to anybody, love anybody, help anybody, encourage anybody, because you know what God has called you to do. And I think sometimes, here's what we do. We try to rely on somebody else's calling. You know, we try to fit in somebody else's mold. That's not God's will for your life. God's will for your life is to find the will of God and walk ye therein. And you're going to find out that you'll have a peace that passeth all understanding all the days of your life. Father, help us, I do pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.